Welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary, a podcast for women in ministry and leadership. We hope you'll leave today's conversation knowing that you've found a community of women who understand the dynamics of your ministry life, in marriage, in family, and in the day-to-day. We want you to finish strong, so let's talk and let's redefine sanctuary. Before we get started in today's episode, I don't want to miss an opportunity to give you details on this year's Let's Retreat events. We are beyond excited to offer not one, but two Let's Retreat events coming this November. Registration opened on February 10th, but there are still some spots available. It's possible you've not even thought twice about attending a Let's Retreat, but I'm going to challenge you to actually consider this as a possible addition to your fall calendar. I believe this is such a life-changing experience that you're going to benefit from. But the first step is to stop by Sanctuary and just get a taste for what our previous guests are calling the getaway they didn't even know they needed. Look for the site link in today's show notes, and I hope to see you and your ministry wife friends there later this fall. Hello, welcome to Let's Talk with Sanctuary. I'm your host, Bridget Tomlin. In June of 2022, episode 44, I stepped out of our typical interview format to deliver a specific message that God had laid on my heart. I have to be honest with you, it was uncomfortable for me in this setting, but I knew that that specific message was burned into my heart by the Lord, specifically for this audience. Finish the race. That was the premise of our session together last summer. And humbly, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. Again, it was number 44. We'll include a link in today's show notes. If you haven't already done so, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen. The truth is, as much as we are all giving out as leaders, we have to put ourselves in the position to receive the implanted word. And I'm confident that you're going to be challenged by the message that I delivered there. And today, I'm going to reluctantly yet confidently step away from our usual fare of conversation with a welcomed guest to bring something unique to you. And I hope that you'll stay with me today and even interact with us in the conversations that are going to follow in our Sanctuary social media communities. Something has been weighing on my heart for some time, but especially over the past several months. I've had this discussion with many of my peers, and while I don't claim to have a solution kind of tidied up and wrapped in a perfect package, I want to stimulate some awareness through this platform today. I turned 47 years old in April of this year, and I'm seeing some things a little differently from the seat of a middle-aged woman. I'm raising two teenage girls, one that's about to leave my home and go off to college. And the thought has occurred to me that they have zero reference point for life before technology in your back pocket. I remember when our oldest daughter started middle school, and I went to the introductory parents' night hosted by Dr. Brown, the principal. And he said, "Your middle school student will not be learning in the same way as you did when you were in middle school." Dr. Brown is about my age, and he began to break down what had to be done when he needed to write a research paper in grade school. And he talked about going to the library, going to the racks of library cards, and forging his way through the Dewey Decimal System to find resources for his research. And he said, "Today, your student has the Library of Congress in his pocket." He shared this to educate us on how this generation's process of learning would be, that it would be for the purpose of preparing them for the environment that they would one day be working in. Technology always has been and always will be a part of their daily lives moving forward. When I think back to 1998, go with me there, when my husband and I began traveling in full-time evangelism, I have to tell you, abundantly grateful that there is no video footage of those growing moments. We made audio recordings, of course, and we sold cassettes and CDs, especially in those early days, but that's it. I don't even know if we have audio copies of my husband's earliest years of preaching. And the beauty of that is that we were given the opportunity to hone our craft, so to speak, to grow in the Lord, to make mistakes, and receive mentorship from people who genuinely cared about us. These were saints and seasoned ministers who had walked their own journey and had learned from trial and error. They were invested in us. Many of them were pastors who opened their pulpits to us, giving us the privilege and opportunity to learn by doing while also pumping their wisdom into us across the table. When we bobbled, it was not blasted across the city, the state, or the nation. Sure, there were some critics, but they weren't faceless names. They were probably people sitting in the pews or maybe even men or women who opened their pulpits. But think about this in terms of a generation that's coming up without the luxury of even having a memory of such bliss. Today's seventh grade girl can't even have a bad hair day without the risk of someone snapping a conspicuous photo of her and sending it through the stratosphere, making her fair game for criticism from a sea of merciless, cruel, and spineless peers. It's no wonder that today's generation is known for off-the-charts anxiety, fear, and emotional trauma. And what I want to do today is to provide some counsel for each of you, regardless of what generation you find yourself in. For those of you listening who are my age and up, pay attention, because I'm going to provide some content for each of us, start to finish, whether you are, like I said, in my generation or those that are coming up behind me. This is so very important for us to understand, whether we're part of the current generations of Z and Alpha, or if you're like me and have a blissful memory of life before social media. Am I opposed to social media? Absolutely not. In fact, it has provided us tremendous resources to provide support, community, connection, and so much more. Ministerially, socially, and relationally, modern technological growth has been a mighty tool in so many ways. The difference between the boomers, the X, which is what I'm in, and even millennials and Y, and then those of Z and Alpha is the experience of life without the internet, social media, and the pressure that comes with all of it. We had our growing years before all of that pressure came into play. And there's a few things that I want to say. It's almost hard to know where to begin, but let's give this a shot, okay? First, I want to remind you to give yourself room to grow. I was raised in a minister's home. My parents were in district leadership for the Assemblies of God, the network that they're a part of, for much of my raising, starting when I was just 7 years old. My dad became a district youth director, and I learned a lot from working alongside my parents and their peers. They included me in their efforts, mostly, of course, behind the scenes. I folded thousands of t-shirts for district youth events, punched out hundreds of name badges, alphabetized thousands of camp registration forms. I made iced tea for thousands of campers, worked the concession stand, attended countless church services, and traveled to foreign countries on missions trips. I sang songs in foreign languages that I was terrified to learn. Went door to door with teams, sharing the good news, sat to table with every ministry peer and mentor that my parents would let us join in. I listened more than I talked. And when God knocked on my heart's door to press toward the front in middle and high school, I met with principals to launch Bible clubs in my schools. I invited local youth pastors to come and speak, and then I even filled in with my own limited ability when no one else could come. And then when it was time for me to go to Bible college after I acknowledged a call to full-time ministry, I took the necessary steps to say yes when I was called upon by professors and ministry leaders. I watched them do what they were good at and then listened when they shared what they weren't good at. And you may be thinking, Bridget, you sure are talking a lot about yourself. And truth is, you're going to hear more of that today than anything. Not because I have achieved perfection, but because I read and absorbed Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 11 where he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Gratefully, God placed people in my life along the journey, beginning even as a young girl, who were imitating Christ. They weren't perfect, but they were real, and they were striving toward perfection. They had taken life up on the opportunity and room to grow. They didn't require me to be just like them, but they challenged me to be less like me. Less like the scared, shy girl who didn't want to be upfront or leading others. My experiences are what I'm giving you today because you have a lot of room to grow in front of you. But if you don't consider all that you have yet to learn, you will stall right where you are now. Put yourself in the position to grow, realizing that you don't have to know everything right this minute. You have a phenomenal life ahead of you, 20-something, 30-something, should the Lord tarry, and you have a tremendous responsibility. What will the generations behind you say about how you prepared them? The only way to grow is to look beyond yourself for someone to imitate, someone who's imitating Christ. If you push yourself to be the best at everything, you're striving toward influencer status by the cultural standards. If you're going to jump the gun and miss the necessary growth track that will set you up for the moment God has predestined for you, take God up and the process of time and experience on, and purposefully, intentionally grow in this early season of ministry. Second, let me encourage you to give yourself grace. Like I said initially, I have the blessing of a growth journey that predates the pressures and rigors of today's culture and online presence. I can remember back in college, I was 19 and given the opportunity to travel with a small music group to represent the Bible college I attended. And the school scheduled us for the entire summer on a tour of district youth camps, traveling across 4 different states over a period of about 8 to 10 weeks. And we gave ourselves a cool, or so we thought, cool name. We went to a local photo studio and took some promo shots and had them printed in color and black and white and sent them by way of the college's promotional package that was sent to each of our assigned camps and weekend bookings in area churches. And of the 6 or so in the group, only one of us was technically old enough to legally drive the 12-passenger van that had been entrusted from the college to our group. The team leader himself was a 19-year-old young man who had recruited all of the team members. And we went to task selecting the songs, rehearsing with the band, and putting together the ministry package, as well as deciding who was going to lead what. We practiced in his bedroom at his parents' home before we loaded the van and headed out on this epic ministry tour. And let me tell you, I can't help but get tickled when I picture all of us loading up in the van with our instruments, our pieced-together wardrobe, and our star-filled eyes. We had such great expectations, and we were fairly confident in our own capabilities to lead worship, to work the camps as counselors, to travel and minister in song and the word. And you know what? Nobody recorded it. I think we have the world's roughest audio recording, maybe somewhere of it in a box. But thank God it wasn't loaded for digital consumption. No one tweeted about it. No filters were used. It was rough. It was raw. It was adequate, but it was experience. And what I'm telling you today is that there was a built-in grace for us that came with room to experiment without the expectation to be something we hadn't developed into yet. We were young people with a call to ministry on our lives, some raw gifts of music, hours of rehearsal, and a willingness to serve. But what we had organically is something that today's generation and those who are mentoring them will have to manufacture. You will have to learn how to give yourself grace to learn, grow, and cultivate your callings and your giftings. How do you do that? Millennials, Gen Y, Gen Z, Alpha Gen, you're going to need to insulate yourself a little bit more than seems normal for your peers. That may mean you don't load up every video you have of yourself doing ministry or performing. It may mean that you limit the amount of time you spend consuming online content from people you don't know. What you're seeing online often has been edited, filtered, and manufactured. The ums were removed. Someone in the audience may have been contracted to initiate an amen or get the crowd clapping. You didn't see the behind the scenes where he or she consulted with a team for message prep or ran it by a professional sermon writer. Perhaps the book you're reading wasn't written by the millennial influencer himself or herself, but by the ghostwriter. And I don't say these things to diminish the impact or value of so many that we draw from in the gifts God gave them. What I do want to draw your attention to is that a lot goes into making the finished package finished. And most of that you're never going to see on social media. In the era of reels and 60 to 90 second shorts, all of us can appear epic. But is there depth? Give yourself grace, friends. You may not be the next Stephen Furtick or Priscilla Shirer today, but what is God shaping in you right now? Who has He put in front of you right now? Who has He sent to mentor or develop you in this season of service and growth? What opportunities are you overlooking because they don't seem like the, quote, big stage or the height of influence? In about 6 seconds, what is currently getting all the likes and retweets will be faded into our memory banks, and there our society will be on to the next thing. So just be faithful. Be faithful to obey right now and trust the Holy Spirit to guide you, to grow you, and to give you divine favor for the steps ahead, not just the miles ahead. And third, let me speak to the boomer, the X, and early millennial generations for a moment. For every Timothy, there has to be a Paul. This is why Paul was so intentional in writing his letters to the churches, but also directly to Timothy. You know, what we've got to remember is that Paul didn't know that he was writing to millions of believers who would one day consider the Spirit-inspired text he was writing to be the inerrant, infallible Word of God. He was just writing to people who were growing in the faith. What would have happened if Paul had not encouraged Aristarchus or Barnabas, Epaphras, John Mark, Timothy, and so many others that he mentions in his letters to learn from him? To not release them when it was time to multiply the work? If I'm being completely transparent, how would I have known I could pursue ministry as a shy, withdrawn girl if someone hadn't called on me to speak on behalf of a ministry or a college? What would have happened if no pastor was willing to open their pulpit and allow me and my husband to cut our teeth on the evangelistic field? What if we were never good enough to sit at tables with tenured ministers and glean from their experiences? Women of God, it is vital that we draw from one another in such a way that we give ourselves room to grow and refuse to take criticism from those whom we would not seek out advice. We let too many of the wrong people have a say and ignore too few of the right ones. Some of the greatest influencers will never get a lot of airtime. Their quotable quotes won't be blasted on a shareable graphic. But their hearts to serve Jesus, teach and preach His word, and shepherd His people warrant pulling up a chair at their table and doing a lot more listening than we are talking. And friends of mine who are my age and beyond, we must be intentional about giving those behind us room to grow, to glean, and to have opportunity to grow without the rotten tomatoes thrown at them. My heart is for you, dear woman of God. My goal is to help you divert from quitting before you've really gotten started. I'm weary of hearing about suicides, young ministers who are filing for divorce and walking away from their families, quitting on the call of God that has placed on their lives, and even some are walking away from following Christ altogether. Friends, we are placed in this time for such a time as this. God has entrusted us to be followers, but also leaders in these final days before Christ's return. So we've got to make it count. Give yourself room to grow. You don't have to know it all today, but you do need to be putting yourself in a position to be learning. Give yourself room to grow. Give yourself some grace in the process, realizing that you aren't going to get it right and perfect and share worthy every single time you go to task working for this kingdom. But there's grace for that. There's grace for growth. and lean into the generations on either side of you to draw wisdom, knowledge, and opportunity to become and do all that God has ordained for you to do. My friend, if you are sitting in my seat and beyond in the generational lineup, you're going to have to carve out time for those that are behind you. And you're going to have to intentionally pull up a chair at your table and say, listen, you're doing great. There's something for you to learn here. How can I help you? What is it that you need to know? How can I stand with you? What are your struggles? What are your hurts? What is it that you're afraid of? When we fail, who's there to walk us out of it? Man, we got to be intentional about this, and we can't be too busy perfecting what looks good on the outside while we're missing all the casualties laying on the side of the road. We have to partner in this together. Let's pray. Father, I love you so much because you use imperfect people like me to accomplish your work on earth. And I pray, Lord, today over these generations that don't have any recollection of a growth pattern without an audience. We're expecting today's generation and those before them just a little bit and those that are coming up behind them to have everything so glossy and so perfected when they haven't even had a chance to grow. They haven't even had a chance to learn and experience things and to be a part of honing those gifts that you are cultivating in them without the expectation of perfection. And so today, first and all, I pray, Lord, for just a hedge of protection around this generation. Lord, they are struggling to stay in the game when we need them to stay in the game. We have to have a generation that will be grounded and rooted in your word, that will be so determined and so encouraged and so bold in their faith that they will not be ashamed when they drop the ball now again, but that they will learn from those moments. We need resilient leaders. We need young men and women of God that are so determined in their faith and in their calling that they will just shake off the dust when they fall and stand back up and lean into those that they're following and be determined to imitate those who are imitating you. God, I pray for my generation and those beyond me that we will stand firm. And Lord, that we will not be so caught up in what it is that we're doing and how we're doing and the standard that we've grown accustomed to, that we don't have room for those that are learning behind us. Let us be Pauls that champion the Timothy, the kid who's leading the persecuted church, but doesn't really know what he's doing. He just knows that he's called by you. God, that we will be pumping life into those Timothys, that we will be intentionally spending time with them and calling them and texting them and bringing them alongside. I pray, Lord, that the women that are serving as pastors' wives and ministry wives, those that are serving alongside their husbands, or even those that are in the pulpit themselves, God, that they will have such a burden in their hearts that's burning there, they can't shake it. But Lord, when they're scared, that they will trust in you and they will lean in you, realizing you don't make mistakes. You put them on this planet for such a time as this. And that what you have placed, the call, you will empower them and equip them to do it, and to do it with excellence. We trust you, Lord, that what you have mandated that you will provide for. And so we bring all of our gifts, all of our callings, all the things that you've placed on us to do, and we lay them at your feet and we say, Lord, in our weakness, be made strong. And we trust you, Lord, to accomplish and complete all that you have begun. He that has begun a good work in you, he's able to complete it. And we declare those things to be so in every generation, from the boomers all the way back here to Gen Z, declaring and knowing, Lord, that you have and always will have a remnant to accomplish your work in this earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in this generation as it is in heaven. And we declare it to be so in the mighty, powerful, capable hands in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Girls, we can do this together. Just ahead in the second quarter of the year, Sanctuary's book club will be featuring the book Find Your People by Jenny Allen. In her review of this power-packed book, best-selling author Lisa Turker said, "We know we need to do life with other people and have a supportive community around us instead of living in isolation. But we often wonder how, when we've had friendships fail, we've been hurt, or we feel too busy to even make the effort." In Find Your People, my dear friend Jenny Allen shows us how to make true emotional connections with the right people so that our authentic relationships can be healthy for all. Listen, I'm hoping you'll join me and my team in reading this book throughout the quarter, listening for the upcoming podcast review, and then later attend our virtual book club meeting in the month of May. Check out the details at the link in the show notes.